The white ensign flies alongside the Union Jack in South Georgia. Just rejoice at that news and congratulate our forces and the Marines. Rejoice! Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about Argentina. And the reason I would like to talk about Argentina is because there is good reason to believe that Argentina is the future of the West. I have been talking a lot in recent videos about the collapse of the West, about the collapse of Western civilization, about why it's happening, about the decline in intelligence, the decline in social trust, that sort of thing. Let's now look at that process playing out before our eyes. Let's look at our own future. And our own future is going to be not unlike that of Argentina. And that is why I referenced Mrs. Thatcher there and the Falklands, the invasion of the Falklands. And because, of course, in many ways, what Galtieri was trying to do was stem the socialism which had taken over in Argentina, stop the way that socialism was destroying Argentina. Galtieri failed. The result was that socialism, it didn't manage to deal with the economic problems caused by socialism. The result was that socialism continued, and now Argentina is on the brink of collapse. Argentina is the new Venezuela. But it wasn't always this way. Argentina was once one of the wealthiest and most successful countries in the world. But it is socialism that has done this to Argentina, and it is socialism that will be part of the process of our own collapse, because socialism basically is parasites, is parasites off the body politic, who cannot do anything themselves and thus leech off everybody else. But they leech off everybody else until they begin to destroy their host, until their host is no longer productive of the necessary amount of blood. And the result of that is the collapse both of the host and of the parasites themselves into death and disorder. This is what is happening in Argentina, and this is what we will explore today. Now, first of all, let us look at the extent of the trouble that Argentina is currently in. It has gone cap in hand to the IMF. It is $45 billion in debt. It is going to have to default on its debt. Its economy is collapsing. Inflation is at 50%, way ahead of the price of food or the price of basic amenities. Therefore, people are falling into the most appalling poverty. It's going to have to default. Its money is worthless. It is doing everything it can to stop the outflow of dollars, of pesos. People are selling their worthless pesos farther than they can produce them. They have brought in attempts to stop people by doing this, by preventing credit card companies from giving people money if they think it will be used for tourism abroad. Basically, they're trying to stop people from going abroad and obtaining foreign currency, which is actually worth something. They are trying to stop people from selling off the peso in favour of hard currency, in favour of the dollar, because the peso is so worthless and so unstable. There is now the official value of the peso and the de facto value of the peso. And the de facto value of the peso is 120% lower than the official value of the peso. The money is worth nothing. Argentina is falling apart before our eyes under the weight of socialism. And it doesn't have to look far afield to see its own future in an even more extreme way. In Venezuela, you have now total collapse due to socialism, particularly the reimposition of socialism after the 2002 coup against Chavez failed. In Venezuela, one third of people are essentially starving. One third of people are in Darwinian conditions. They lack meat, they lack fish, they lack eggs, they lack vegetables, they lack fruit. There has been an increase, a substantial increase in Venezuela over recent years in child mortality. We are going back to harsh Darwinian selection pressures in Venezuela. Venezuela has collapsed into nothing, and Argentina is going the same way. Now, it wasn't always this way in Argentina. It's amazing to think that there was once a time when Argentina was one of the wealthiest countries on earth. after independence in 1816 or whenever it was, they had a policy of bringing in Europeans to Argentina, of bringing in Europeans to Argentina and bringing their know-how and their development and whatever with them. Between 1880 and 1914, 6 million Europeans a year came to Argentina from Spain, from Italy, and also significantly from Germany. And there was a very substantial, and indeed from Britain. And there was a very substantial German community and a substantial British community in Argentina. In 1947, only 13% of people in Argentina were illiterate. Therefore, the literacy rate was better than in many southern European countries. In 1914, Argentina had the sixth highest GDP in the world. It was the sixth richest nation in the world. 85% of Argentinians at the time, by the way, were European. In 1912, it introduced the complete franchise, one of the first nations to do so. This can be seen as a marker of being developed. In 1914, Buenos Aires was so rich that a branch of Harrods was opened in Buenos Aires. This is now a hollow shell and doesn't do very much. It had a 50% higher average income than Italy. It had an 85% higher average income than Norway. It had a 170% higher average income than Japan. It was one of the wealthiest countries on earth. But look at it now. Look at the situation that it is in. The change occurred in the second half of the 20th century when immigration changed from being from Europe to being from its own surrounding nations, from South America. The result of this was that they were no longer encouraging in the brightest sparks from Europe, but they were just encouraging in people locally. And the result of that was a somewhat of a change, a growing underclass, poorer people from the surrounding, whereas it had been wealthy people had come from Europe to settle in Argentina and take advantage of generous grants to engage in farming and to engage in teaching and education and all these kinds of things. Instead, it just opened up immigration to anybody. And the result of that, of course, was it would be people not at the top, but people in the middle. That's who tends to migrate. People in the middle, people that have high IQ tend, unless there are strong incentives to migrate, as Argentina originally gave the Europeans, they tend to be happy where they are. People of low IQ, they don't tend to have the initiative, the planfulness to migrate. So it was the sort of lower middle ranking people that start to migrate from Paraguay and from other such, from Uruguay, from other such places into Argentina. So basically an immigration of relatively low IQ, unskilled workers. Now, in a democracy, what you then get fairly quickly is an appeal to those kinds of people. Vote for us and we will give you things. Vote for us and we will take away the wealth that other people have accrued and we will give it to you. And that's what happened. You had the development of a kind of underclass socialism or working class socialism in Argentina, just as you have had in Venezuela, whereby the people get elected in a country with universal suffrage on a promise of taking away the wealth of the richer people and giving it to those who are poor. On the assumption, of course, that the only reason why you have got rich is because you are selfish, is because you are greedy, is because you have inherited it. And this is, of course, not the case. We know that how wealthy you are correlates with your IQ, and your IQ is about 0.8 heritable. We know that how socioeconomically successful you are correlates with your modal personality, and personality is in the region of 0.5 heritable. Your socioeconomic status of origin is associated with IQ, as is your socioeconomic status achieved. So you cannot simply argue that these people have got where they are due to greed and mendacious behaviour and selfishness and nepotism. They've got where they are because they have high levels of intelligence and high levels of ability. And those that haven't done very well will, on average, have low levels of intelligence and low levels of ability. And what you do with a government like this is you take away the wealth, you disappear disincentivize those that are wealth creators, you crush those that are wealth creators, you stop them from creating wealth, and you redistribute it. Now, the result of all this has been the collapse of Argentina into socialism. You have more and more shanty towns in Argentina. You have more and more people living in appalling conditions. You have a massive rise in crime in Argentina, to the extent that there is now segregation in Argentina. There are 800 gated communities in Buenos Aires alone, of huge in size. There are 1,000 gated communities in Argentina. Even the people here are, in these places are not completely safe and have to have neighbourhood watches and guns and whatever else in order to, because the police is corrupt and the police can't be sustained anymore. There's no tax money going in to sustain it as more and more people are unable to pay tax, as more and more people are unable to contribute and are simply parasites of society. The biggest of these towns is Nordelta, absolutely enormous. It's basically a separate gated, it's a separate society, essentially, in which wealthy Argentines live. But it, nevertheless, occasionally, non-members get in. And the result, of course, is crime. So this is what it's degenerated into. And this is what we would expect our own future in the West to be as these socialist policies continue. You will have a smaller, as IQ goes down, you will have a smaller and smaller and smaller number of wealth creators, creating, relatively speaking, less and less wealth. You will have more and more people who are unable to look after themselves, who are unable to produce the resources that they need in order to survive. And therefore, the only tactic they will be able to adopt will be that of being a parasite of the shrinking number of people, because IQ is going down, who are able to actually produce the resources that are necessary for life. The result of this parasitism is that it will further shrink the ability of those who have high IQ to produce the resources. It will further incentivize them to leave the country. It will further incentivize them to cut themselves off, making fewer and fewer and fewer of them, until eventually they completely cut themselves off into entirely separate communities that have nothing to, that will not tolerate this parasitism any longer, will not allow it. And when that happens, then of course you have a complete return to Darwinian conditions amongst the underclass. This is the future of Argentina. You're a situation in Argentina where literally you will find, if you are relatively wealthy, you could be kidnapped and have to pay a ransom in order to get your members to your family back. People that are footballers in Argentina are particularly subject to being kidnapped. So this is the future that we have to look forward to. It is a future, as IQ goes down, of a growing underclass. Once you get that underclass, you get individualistic people who will appeal to equality and whatever. They're just greedy and envious in order to get into positions of power. They will then take the resources from those that produce the resources. That will then mean that you have a producing class under attack who are being cannibalized by a parasitic class, and the result of that will be a decline and a decline and a decline into chaos. It is an extraordinary, fascinating thing that people can be drawn into this. You have this balance between wanting a socialist society and knowing that if it goes too far, if there's no free trade, then everything will collapse. So you have this tension between the desire to devour the wealth of those that have more than you and the fear of what will happen if you devour them, if you devour the hen that lays the golden egg. And what socialist politics is basically a repackaging of envy and greed into something that, and there's data on this, as I've looked at before, into something that makes you look good. So rather than say, oh, yeah, I'm envious and greedy and I want to have power, you say, oh, I'm advocating for those that are lower than me. And so people will justify themselves in doing this. They will get together with other people. They will steal and pillage and conquer. But you have to be able to present your biological selfishness in a way that gets people to cooperate with you and saves face and allows you to better realise your desires and presents a narrative that makes you look nice and makes you feel good. And then once you tell people what they want to hear, which is their deeply ingrained biological urges to be selfish and whatever and greedy are actually good, and that those that they envy and it's not that they envy people, it's that they love those who are lower than them and they're actually righteous and better than everybody else, then of course they can can get into these positions of power. And they can say, oh, we're not here because of our lust for chaos and domination. This is something noble. This is about helping everybody. This is about freedom and equality. And that's what socialism does. It placates the self-serving moral fantasies of life's losers. But what it ultimately brings about is chaos, is hell, because there's something quite harsh about socialism. Socialism is basically telling you, in a free market, how much a man earns reflects how valuable he is to society. If he is productive and intelligent and skillful, society will reward him generously. If he is lazy and slow-witted, then society will punish him, will literally punish him. Now, under harsh Darwinian conditions, people like that were selected out. They were removed from the marketplace of life. But change these conditions and they have a second chance. They have a second chance in the form of socialism, where they can act as where they can basically force their way onto the body politic, and they can take what they need. And there will always be this tension with regard to that you mustn't consume too much. You mustn't consume too much such that you destroy the host. Now you can have, but you want to consume all that you possibly can. And normally that doesn't go quite right. Now, you can get parasitism at the top, of course, as well. You can get people that don't actually produce anything tangible and can be seen as parasites off the middle class at the top, those that just own land and hereditary landowners, something like that, and don't actually produce anything of any actual good to society. They, in a sense, are parasitic. That's what socialists argue, off the work, off the actual honest work and labour. Of hard-working people. And equally, you get those at the bottom that are parasitic off the working class or off anybody. And that's what you end up having in a democracy. As IQ declines, the people that literally don't contribute anything will rise. And the eventual result of that is the collapse into chaos. And this is what we are seeing with Argentina. And this, I'm afraid, is likely to be our future. Well, I hope this has been of interest. If it has, please do subscribe. It really helps if you do that. Remember, I live stream Mondays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. And I will see you soon. And adios.